Welcome, everybody, to the Direct Selling Leaders Express bonus call for Thursday, January the 10th, and we are so excited. Today, we have a very special guest, James Dillehay, who has written a fabulous new book called Guerrilla Multilevel Marketing that I have already read, and I'm really, really excited to talk about it today. James reached diamond level in his network marketing company and is the author of 7 books and co-author of Guerrilla Multilevel Marketing, the newest addition to the best-selling marketing series of all time. James is a certified guerrilla marketing coach, a former magazine publisher and editor, and he operates more than 30 websites. He has been listed in Who's Who of Entrepreneurs, and his books have been recommended on TV, radio, and publications like Networking Times, the Chicago Tribune, Family Circle, Better Homes and Gardens, Bottom Line Personal, and Working Woman, and many, many others. Welcome, James. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Sarah. It's an honor to be on your call today.
Well, we are so excited, and I know that the Direct Selling Leaders community is anxious to hear more about this book. So let's dive right in. Tell me, what is guerrilla marketing, and how will its particular approach help direct sellers?
Well, guerrilla marketing differs from conventional marketing in that typically when you have a business where you're opening up a store or you're working where you're buying the products and selling them or you have a service, you're spending your dollars to advertise and market that business. Guerrilla marketing accents the use of your time, your energy, and your imagination, which is ideal for network marketers because, as you know, many of us get into the business, the reason we're getting into the business is the opportunity to make some extra money. So we're not always coming in with big pockets.
Right. Well, what advice do you have for direct sellers and network marketers who are resolving to get off to a good start in 2008?
Well, you know, this is the time of year where everyone makes their New Year's resolutions, and myself included. One of the things that I find is very helpful is if you take this time, rather than working in your business, work on your business. I usually do this over about a two-week period in the beginning of every year, and I look at things that happened last year and you know, what went right, what didn't go right, and try to think about the things that are important to me, you know, my values, and I like to work in projects that inspire me and where I'm having some fun. So you want to kind of keep those things in mind. And we have what we call a 7-sentence marketing plan. This is sort of the heart of the guerrilla marketing approach.
Yeah, I read about that, and it's really fascinating. Is now a good time for you to go over that?
Yeah, this is the best time, and this is actually what I always recommend people to do in this particularly in the beginning of the year, is to take a look at what you're offering. Whether you know you can actually do a couple of these 7-sentence plans. If you, for instance, are promoting your product and you're sort of what they call product-driven, then you'd have 1 7-sentence plan for your product, and then you might have a different 7-sentence plan for your opportunity. And, of course, you know, you'll know which one to present when you're talking to your prospect and you're learning what their needs are. But the first sentence in the plan is going to be the same, and this is actually a question. This is the question I'm going to ask you, and you want to write the answer down, and that is, what is the most desired result you wish your marketing to achieve? In other words, what is it you want your prospect to do? Do you want them to sign up for a newsletter? Do you want them to purchase a product? Do you want them to sign up as a distributor? And you want to be very specific about what you want your marketing to achieve, and you also want to be specific about the timeline that you want that to happen in. So, for instance, let's say that your goal is you want to sign up 5 new distributors in the month of January. So that's a very specific goal, and you want to write that down. Okay, so sentence number 2 is, what specific benefits will the buyers of your product or your opportunity experience, which sets you apart from your competition? In other words, what's in it for your prospect? What's a customer going to get by buying your product? What's a distributor going to gain by signing up with you? And you want to list every benefit you can come up with, and you know, a good place to start with these benefits is to look through your company's product or opportunity brochures and kind of go through there and look for the things that are benefits, not features. Features, a good example of this, if you sell supplements and you say that you got the best antioxidant in the world, you're really describing a feature. People don't buy features, they buy benefits. So forget the word antioxidant. It's out there so much anyway, it almost doesn't mean anything anymore. What people are buying is a longer, happier lifestyle. That's a benefit. So you want to look at those kind of things. And you can also think of your benefits as hot buttons, motivational words that kind of get people going, you know, that appeal to them. You know, it's going to be important to them. So make a long list of the benefits. Talk to your customers. Talk to people that have purchased your product in the past. Look through your company information. And after you've made your list, then go to any company that competes with yours, you know, that has similar type products, and look at the benefits that they're talking about. And then look at your list and look at the benefits that you have that are different from your competitors. And those are the benefits that you want to put at the top of your list whenever you do any kind of marketing or communicating, because those are the benefits that help you stand out from the competing products. Okay, sentence number three, who is your audience? And we want to be real clear about defining exactly who it is that you're marketing and communicating to. Now, if you jump into this and you say, well, everyone is a prospect for my product, that may be true, but the fact of the matter is that not everybody's likely to buy what you have. Now, I always advocate that you be prepared to speak to everyone as if they are a prospect, but you don't want to go in to spending money like for marketing and running ads or doing consumer expos or putting up a website with the idea that everybody's a prospect for your product, because the simple fact is they aren't. You want to be very targeted about who your audience is. Now, some examples of that would be, for instance, you have a, I'm going to use skincare this time. Let's say that you have a skincare product that is a natural facelift. Now, obviously, more women will be interested in this product than men. So when you're constructing your marketing campaign, that guerrilla marketing goes into 100 different ways of marketing your products or your opportunities. So when you're constructing your campaign, you want to be aware that that particular product is going to be targeted more to women, and particularly women that starting in their 40s, because that's when the wrinkles start showing up. So that's what we mean by defining your audience. Sentence number four is, what specific tactics will you use to reach your audience? The guerrilla multi-level marketing approach explores 100 different tactics. And if you're listening to this call, you're actually going to get a special bonus. We've set up a special link through Sarah Robinson where you're going to get a checklist of the 100 guerrilla marketing tactics that are outlined in the book. So what that allows you to do is you go through this list and you check off the tactics that you think would be appropriate for your particular business or your particular product, and you start making a list of those, and then you prioritize them according to the ones that either they feel right for you, in other words, they feel like a fit, they feel like something you can do, or perhaps you're working on a tight budget and you need to do marketing tactics that don't cost you much money. And the way this list is arranged, you just go through there and you pick out the ones that are right for you. So that's sentence number four. Sentence number five is, what is it that you choose to be known for? What is the niche that people will remember you for? Does your compensation plan pay out more bonuses? Is your product the only one that solves a particular problem? Does it solve a problem faster? Does it make life easier? Is it cheaper? What is it that makes your offer memorable? Sentence number six, what is your identity? Now, image is often confused with identity, so let's be real clear about this. Typically, corporations and big businesses have lots and lots of advertising dollars, and they use this money to shape what's called a public image, what people think of them. Now, many times, and we read about this in the news a lot, You have companies like Enron or Xerox or WorldCom who actually have projected an image of being good guys when underneath, you know, they're doing things that aren't so good. The difference is with network marketers, you're face-to-face with your prospects every day. The image that you, well, let's put it this way, the identity that you hold when you're doing business has to be real. If people can perceive when you're not in integrity, and you can't afford to project an image that isn't really who you are. So this question, what is your identity, is about thinking about your values. Think about the things that you want to bring into your business every day. Something that you would, you know, feel is close to your heart, close to your spirit, close to the way that you do business, and that you want to include the things that are important to you, like honesty, integrity, service. And when you do that every day, when you bring that into your marketing, people pick it up. They know sincerity when they experience it. And it's a very important thing in network marketing because it is such a face-to-face business. So that's sentence number six. Sentence number seven is how much money are you willing to invest in your marketing in the coming year? And the way that you would figure this out is you would take a look at what you want your projected income to be for, let's say, 2008, and then you want to take a percentage of that and say, okay, I'm willing to invest this amount of money into my marketing. And take a look at what you made in 2007, but you don't want to use that number. You really want to project it forward. You want to grow in 2008. Let's say that you want to be earning $48,000 from network marketing or direct selling business by the end of 2008. That's about $4,000 a month. Now, what's a good number to estimate for spending on your marketing? And, you know, a lot of businesses spend 5%, 10%. I think 10% is a great number, but if you can't afford that, then 5%. So, like, if you wanted your income to be $4,000 a month, then spending $400 a month on your marketing, that's not an unreasonable amount of money. And actually, most traditional, conventional businesses are out there spend a lot more than that. In fact, you probably couldn't even rent a store space for $400 a month. So that is the seven-sentence marketing plan, and it involves a lot of different elements, but as you start working with them and putting them together, they integrate. And what it does is it gives you a certain confidence about what you're communicating to your prospect. And that confidence is a marketing tactic. People buy confidence before they buy anything else. And also, the truth of the matter is, people are buying you before they're buying anything else. So you want to give yourself all the different ways of feeling confident that allow people to buy you first. And that's the seven-sentence guerrilla marketing plan.
Wow. That's something that if people listen to this again and get out a pen and a piece of paper, that's something that I know you pulled straight from the book. And they can, if you write the answers out to that, it'll really set you apart in the network marketing business. So take advantage of what was just shared with you. Tell me, how can guerrilla marketing put you in control of your business and keep you in control of your business so that you reach high earnings? That's what everybody wants, those high earnings, but it's really difficult to get there.
It is, and I think one of the big factors in why we feel stress about being out of control is the feeling that it's almost as if that open field of opportunity is just too much. We just don't know where to start. Guerrilla marketing provides a solution to that by basically creating what's called a marketing calendar, where you map out how you're going to spend your time with your business from week to week. So, for instance, you'd take your seven-sentence marketing plan, you'd define your benefits, you'd figure out what your budget is, you take a look at the tactics that you're going to use, and then you put these into a marketing calendar. Now, the handout that you're going to get, we're going to mention this link later on, this handout will have a sample of a guerrilla marketing calendar, and what it is, it defines your list of tactics that you're going to do, and you can do this on a daily basis. I think the minimum that I'd like to spend on my network marketing business is at least 2 hours a day. So that's about, if I work 5 days a week, that's 10 hours a week. That's not a lot of time, and that's probably, I would say that even the Direct Selling Association has said that's about the average amount of time a distributor will spend on their business,
right, 10 hours
or less. So in that 10 hours, you want to define that. You want to say, okay, I'm going to be working from 10 in the morning till 12 noon, and this is what I'm going to do in those 2 hours. And you define your tactics, and you list what they cost you, and many guerrilla marketing tactics are either low cost or free, so you don't have to go into a panic about that.
Excellent.
And then you would look at the action steps you need to take for that tactic. And then at the end of the month, you'd go back and you look at your calendar, and you would grade the results. You know, like say for instance, you're gonna invite 10 people to the opportunity meeting this week. So you take a look at that activity and you'd say, okay, I invited 10 people, and 3 people showed up, but it didn't cost me anything, and I did get 3 people to the meeting. So you would grade it. You would say like you would grade a report card, A, B, C, D, or F, and actually, I think that's pretty good. You know, in the numbers game, you have to invite, and then a certain number of people won't come, but some that will, and that's how you build your business. So, if I got 3 people out of 10 to come to an opportunity meeting, I'd give that an A. So, that's the way you want to build your marketing calendar, and what that does is it puts you in control of your business. Instead of just thinking, well, I'm going to spend 10 hours this week going out and talking to people. That, you know, maybe you can do that, but what happens is it's so random and it's so sort of, we'll just take whatever we can get, that you start to slip. You start to slide from your intentions about building your business. Doing this with a calendar, it puts you behind the steering wheel, and you have a map of where you're going, and then you go there. And that is another one of those things that just gives you so much confidence in your business. You feel so much better about yourself because you will have achieved something. You'll have a record of it. You'll have it written down. You'll know where you're going. You'll know where you've been. And the guerrilla marketing calendar just keeps growing with you over time, because as you start to get more and more excited about your business and you start to see more and more results, you're going to spend more time in your business because you're enjoying it more.
Right, and I love that approach, James. I advocate that a lot. Always know what you're doing. Otherwise, I always say, otherwise it's just like throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing if something might stick. And it's really, that's a hard course to sustain.
Yeah, you can get by with it for a while.
You can.
I think actually probably the bulk of people in network marketing tend to do that. And to be honest with you, that's the way I built my business in the beginning. I didn't really have a sense that I wanted to be in control. I just sort of wanted to talk to people in a very natural, easy way, and you know, when it came about. But I didn't grow very fast that way.
Right.
So, you know, if you really want to grow, this is the way you grow, and this is the way businesses grow. You hear this a lot, treat network marketing as if it's a business. But the truth of it is, the majority of people joining network marketing and direct selling today don't have a business background. So when you tell them to treat it like a business, they might be nodding their head yes, but inside they don't have a clue what that means.
Right. They agree, yes, I need to treat it like a business.
But
what they're not telling you is, but I don't know what that is.
And you know what the fact of the matter is? That a lot of leaders in network marketing today don't come from a traditional business background. They've built their business in network marketing. So what we're trying to do with this guerrilla multi-level marketing approach is we've taken the wisdom from some of the people that have earned millions and millions of dollars in network marketing, and we've combined that with the way small businesses that don't have a lot of money to spend on marketing, we've combined those things together to give you a really solid experience in what treating this like a business means.
Right.
And taking baby steps, taking steps that you can do, doing it on your terms, on your time, to fit your personality. So we think it's a great tool.
I think it's an awesome tool because it really is the way I advocate working to you, and you got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're like a pinball in a pinball machine, bouncing around, and you don't know exactly what you're doing or what you're trying to accomplish or if you accomplished anything. And eventually, you give out on that. Eventually, I don't know how to get that to be a sustainable thing.
Well, and it's true, and you know, I think everybody agree that you know if you're going around like that. And you start talking to the people that do sign up, what do you have to offer them? Random anarchy.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I talk about, too, is a lot of times in the world my clients come from, because they haven't made choices about what they are and aren't going to do, one of the beauties of this industry is that we can work flexible hours, right? But what happens, because people haven't made choices, is flexible hours can become all-the-time hours. And you can't – that's not duplicatable, and I know we're going to get to that, but you can't sell that. That does not inspire people to want what you have, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this, too, is it really brings focus to your efforts. You know what you're going to work on. You've made choices about what you're going to work on and what you're not going to work on right now. You'll get to it, but right now your focus is over here, and I really, really like that.
I agree, and I think, you know, a lot of, well, here's the simple truth. If you really want to build big in network marketing, you're going to have to attract some business builders. It's not all going to be just your efforts. You're going to be leveraging your time and your energy on other people's efforts. So
right.
In order to attract people that are going to be business-like and business builders, you yourself must become a business builder. You must become business-like.
Right.
So it's just simple logic.
Right. And you want to be the kind of person that they want to be.
Exactly.
And if you're scattered all over the place and it looks really hard, nobody's going to want that.
Exactly.
Well, you know, your book talks about, and you've mentioned several times, 100 guerrilla marketing tactics, and that sounds like a lot. So how do we know where to start with these 100 marketing tactics?
Well, when you get the list and you download it, you'll see that there are 100 tactics. Now, I think it's 52 tactics in there cost you nothing. So the other 48 tactics are arranged, and what we did was arrange the tactics according to what you would call broad market categories. Like, say, for instance, if you were going to do consumer expos, or if you were going to focus on building on the internet, or if you were going to focus on becoming an expert in your field and perhaps writing articles and getting people to call you and teaching classes and things like that, or let's say, for instance, you wanted to focus on partnering with businesses or practitioners, professionals, where you leverage their mailing list with your product or opportunity. What we do, dividing these tactics into these different segments, allows you to gravitate towards the tactics that are most like your personality. This is an interesting thing in my background. Most of the way I got to diamond level was that someone on my second level who originally didn't want to even do the business and told me not to call him. At some point, got excited about the business and put up a website and brought in something like 500 customer distributors in the first year. Now, you could not get this guy up in front of a crowd or at a home party or something like that. He would not talk to people. But on the internet, he was a whiz. Now, what if I had said, no, you must get up in front of people. You must step out of your comfort zone. You know, what if I had run this guy off by trying to force him into something that was not for him? I would have lost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. It's just amazing how much that guy's business brought into me over the time. And I think one of the things that you want to be aware of is that everybody's a little different. You know, we interviewed something like 24 millionaires for this Guerrilla Multilevel Marketing book. And each one of them built their business a little bit differently. Each of them had a different technique. It's not really about specifically what you do as it is about feeling comfortable and confident when you're doing it. So what we did by dividing those tactics up, we let you choose the tactics that match your strengths. We're not asking you to step outside your comfort zone. And I think a lot of leaders might actually argue that with me, that, you know, they think it's good for people to step outside their comfort zone. But what I point to is that the network marketing industry has a 90% dropout rate in the first year. And if you keep trying to push people into growing their business in ways they're not comfortable with, you're just going to keep duplicating that 90% dropout rate. So what we've done here is we're looking at all the different ways you can support people. So you can go down this list, you can choose the tactics that are best for you. And if you got a low budget, you know, just prioritize the tactics by the ones that cost the less amount of money.
Excellent. And you're about to, you may have just covered this, but it's like you said at the beginning of our conversation, a lot of people start a network marketing business or direct selling business because they need extra money. So they're not bringing, you know, $400 extra a month to put toward their marketing to the table. They simply don't have it. They have a very small budget. What would you recommend for someone in that situation?
Well, we have, I would say, just go through this list and look at the ones that cost nothing.
Right.
And I did this. I actually separated them out. I've got 52 different tactics that don't cost a penny.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. So the bulk of them don't cost you anything and can really advance your business and get you in a place where you might then start having a little bit extra to put toward the marketing of your business.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is, when you look at these 100 tactics, you realize that they may not necessarily, some of them you may not have heard of, many of them you will have heard of, but, you know, if you don't have anything written down, you can't remember them all.
Right.
So what we do is by listing them, you actually create an arsenal of tools that you can pull from. And when you go around and you know that, you know, you've got the tools and you can say what you need to say when it's appropriate, it fills you with this sense that you know what you're doing.
And that just builds your confidence and you keep going when that feeling starts, right?
Yeah, you know, if you can just keep people in your group to stay involved just a couple of months longer to where they can actually experience some difference in their paycheck and in their experience of their network marketing business, it's amazing, you know, what can happen.
Right. Well, you know, I also talk about when I'm talking to leaders is make sure that what you are doing is duplicatable. A lot of times leaders will get, you know, all lots of bells and whistles going on that new people will look at and say, gosh, I can't do all that, so I'm not going to do anything. If it's got to look like that, I can't do it. So I talk a lot about make sure that what you do is something that a brand spanking new person can do too. Are guerrilla marketing tactics duplicatable?
The guerrilla marketing is a system, and as such, it is duplicatable. Now, it may not look as easy as some of the systems out there, but the fact of the matter is, people, like, once you've exhausted your warm list, where are you going to go? You know, where are you going to get people? You need sort of a little more in-depth system, and the guerrilla system is duplicatable. We know that something like 90 to 95% of network marketers drop out in their first year, and in conventional businesses, something like 60 to 80% of those businesses fail in their first year. Now, the interesting thing is the Wall Street Journal quoted that people that start a franchise, only 15% of those people fail in their first year. Now, that's a huge difference in the failure rate. Now, why do franchise businesses succeed where other businesses and network marketers don't?
Because they're buying a turnkey, proven, vetted system.
You got it. And if you treat your network marketing as a franchise system, then your success rate will skyrocket. And the way you do that is you create procedures for every aspect of your business. How does a new customer buy a product? What are their options? Can they go online? Can they go to an 800 number? Can they call you? Can they fax it in? You know, just real simple things. How does a new distributor get signed up? How does a new distributor start their training? What what sort of tools does the new distributor have at hand that they don't have to go out and recreate. If you were going to take a new distributor and integrate them into doing home parties, how would you do that? Do you have it all mapped out? And you'd go through and you take every way that you're comfortable and that you're energized by doing your business, and you would systematize it. And then you put it in a loose leaf binder, you'd make extra copies, and you don't want to, like, bombard your new distributor with this stuff when they first join, because that's going to just, you know, scare them off. What you want to do is find out, take them through the 100 tactics, and look at which of these 100 tactics appeals to you. You know, maybe you're only going to choose 20 or 30 or 40. I actually have 70 tactics out of the list that I use in my business. But the average person may not choose that many. So you would take a look at how they're going to build a business, and you would help them define it step by step by step. You know, they found that it's so much easier for people to take baby steps than it is to take giant leaps.
Right.
So that's where the guerrilla marketing system is duplicatable.
That's great. And I talk about baby steps all the time. If you put a giant step in front of somebody, if I can't make 25 calls today, I'm not going to make any. And I'd rather people take baby steps. Make five. Make five every day. That's a baby step. That's much better than making zero.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I love that baby steps and the duplicatability of this. Well, James, we're almost out of time, but I was wondering, do you have time to actually share some guerrilla tactics that someone can start applying today that will make a difference?
Yeah, I have a couple of favorites that I like, and it's not too overwhelming. The first one is the one we talked about earlier, the seven-sentence marketing plan.
Right.
That is like that's sort of the key behind the guerrilla marketing system, and that's the number one tactic that I like to use. Another thing that I like to use, excuse me, is the guerrilla marketing calendar, which is the other thing that we talked about.
Right.
Because the two of those work together, and it also maps out how I'm going to be doing my business. I also like to identify my ideal customers by their niche. So the way I do that, this is a tactic, by the way, defining your customer. So what I do is I go back to the list of benefits that I wrote down in my marketing plan, and I sort of backwards engineer, okay, what audience have the problems that these benefits solve? And that gives me a lead-in for defining my audiences. So once I have my audience, then I start looking at, okay, where do these people go? You know, if they're runners, then they're going to be reading magazines like Runner's Magazine. They're going to be going to marathons. What would it be like if I set up a booth at a marathon? You know, because sometimes they do allow vendors' booths.
Sure they do. Sure they do.
So, you know, it's just a very simple way of defining who your customer is, and it's a very easy tactic that anybody can do. A fourth tactic that I'm a real big fan of, and I'm becoming more and more a fan of this, is being very clear about market knowledge. Now, market knowledge is different than product knowledge. You know, you can know everything that you need to know about your product, but everybody in network marketing is doing the same thing. They're all going out there and they're talking about their product. Here's where you can get a competitive edge, is where you go out and you talk to to your market about the things that are important to them. And some examples of that would be like, say, for instance, the average person consumed something like 57 pounds of fats and oils in 1980. Okay, 24 years later, the average consumption was up to almost 90 pounds. It's almost doubled. That's how much more fat and oil we're putting into our diet. Now, when you can say something like that, it positions you as an expert. It indicates that you've done your homework, you know what you're talking about, you quote reliable sources, and it puts you in a different light as to being just someone that's always product-driven and always trying to sell the product.
Right.
So you help the customer understand and define the things that are threatening them, threatening their health, threatening their safety, their financial security, and then you provide the solution. But
right.
you don't do that until you define the market itself. You know, the you define their pain.
Right. Basically. What are their problems? What are their challenges?
Exactly.
How do you position your products and services to solve those problems? and solutions. Yeah, I talk about that a lot, too. And I'm like, ask questions and stop talking.
Yeah.
Listen to the answers.
Yeah.
Well, it arms you with all kinds of really great information about how to then position your products and services.
And it tells you when to talk and when to not to, because the truth of the matter is, you know, and you've probably heard this a lot in network marketing, this is one of the questions I hear more than any other. Should I lead with a business or should I lead with a product? And the answer is, don't lead at all until you've asked your prospect what's important to them.
Right.
It's not about what's important to you. It's about what's important to them.
Right. And if your foot in the door is product, sell them product, because you can't run a business without somebody buying your product.
Yeah.
I say that, too, because people are like, oh, all I do is sell the opportunity. I'm like, well, I don't know how you keep a business functioning if you don't have somebody who's also buying what you sell.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, but you're right. Until you have figured out what's important to them, you don't know what to present. And you're also thinking about yourself when you're thinking about that in the equation. You're not thinking about and really listening to the person that you're talking to.
I think this is probably the number one reason, you know, despite the fact that network marketing has a huge dropout rate, one of the things that you hear a lot in the trainings is that you're going to have to talk to 100 people to get 3. So how many people do you know that are going to have that kind of
that stamina?
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do it either.
No, and so what I do is I simply qualify people right off the bat. And sometimes I do that and this is another tactic that we talk about, active listening. You know, pay attention to what people are speaking. And you can pick up the clues. And those clues will lead you down the road. So you get confident about your product, you get confident about your opportunity, you be prepared to speak to anyone according to their needs.
But that doesn't mean you talk to everyone.
Exactly.
Which is different. You're prepared to talk to anyone, but you don't have to talk to everyone.
Yeah.
Because that, as you and I have talked about before, that is what can give the whole industry such a bad name, is people talking to people that don't want to talk to them, you know?
Now go out and sign up all your cousins and your in-laws and come back and you'll be a diamond.
I don't see that work very often. How about you?
No.
But that's what people are told, and it's not a sustainable business practice.
It's not at all. And the whole thing is, and you do this with your coaching clients and your events all the time, where you really are instilling the sense that this is a business, so let's treat it like one, and this is the way businesses are run.
Right. Which is a little different. You and I are, you know, presenting a little bit of a different kind of viewpoint on some of this stuff. But I think it's an important distinction that it is a business. And I was just having this conversation earlier today. It's a business, and to stay in business, you have to work on your business and adopt a business attitude. You know. Because that's what it is at the end of the day. Well, James, you have been so generous with your time today, and I'm really excited about this souped-up page you want to send people to. I know they can purchase the book there and get a checklist there and a couple other things, too. You said a sample calendar?
Yes. What they can do is, and here's the address to go to, www.gmmlm.com/08bonus.
I will also put that on our website so that you all can find that there. So if you didn't quite get that written down, you can look for the link on our site. So
and from there, they can download the checklist of the 100 guerrilla marketing tactics that come from the book. They'll get a sample marketing calendar, one that's filled out, and they'll get a blank template that they can copy and use for their own purposes. And they also get an excerpt from the new book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's on there, too. So.
Oh, how awesome. Plus a link to buy the book if they want to do that.
Link to buy the book, and if they want to sign up for the Guerrilla Marketing Newsletter, there's a form at the bottom of the page.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's a free newsletter, by the way.
Wonderful. Well, Well, guys, I think you should take advantage of all that James has set up for you, because this is really great stuff. And I know you all enjoy the way that I talk about running your business, and all this book is all about that. Treat your business like a business. So be sure to get to that page and get your copy of the book and all of the great bonuses that James has set up. Well, James, thank you so much for being with Direct Selling Leaders today. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Sarah, and thanks to everyone that's on this call. And best of luck to you, and see you right at the top.
Wonderful.